Edwin Lopez Corneo died while in ICE custody at Delaney Hall in Newark, New Jersey. When tragedy is repeatedly caused by either one person or one entity, the question has to be, why? Why is this happening? Why is this being allowed to happen? Why isn't there an effort to prevent it from happening yet again? All these questions should be asked of the leadership of the Department of Homeland Security and ICE, as the deaths caused by their actions, or lack of actions, continue to increase. We're now at the point, by the way, where ICE now even tries to hide a death when it occurs. We'll get to that in a minute, too. Joining us to examine all this and talk about what needs to be done, along with by who, is staff attorney with the ACLU of New Jersey, Molly Lindhorst. How are you today, Molly?
I'm great, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Find out more about this issue and other points of focus of the ACLU of New Jersey. It's ACLU-NJ.org. So for the person listening who might not be clued in completely to this other than my opening sentence of the introduction, talk about what unfolded and how Edwin Lopez Corneo became another victim of ICE.
Sure thing. So Delaney Hall is an immigration detention facility in Newark, New Jersey. It is run by a private prison company called Geo Group. So these are folks who are held in what is supposed to be civil detention, non-punitive detention. But Delaney Hall, that we've heard from so many different people inside and their family members, it has rampantly horrible conditions, inhumane conditions, lack of medical care, really medical neglect, of food that people find to be inedible, abuse by guards, horrible sanitation. It's a facility that has a lot of horrible conditions. And most recently, we heard about the devastating death of Mr. Lopez Cornejo, and he is unfortunately not the first person to die at Delaney Hall. And there was also more recently a death that I believe you're referencing, Chris, of someone who started to have a medical episode while at Delaney Hall and then was conveniently released from ICE custody on his way to the hospital so that that death would not be counted as a Delaney Hall death. But we are seeing deaths at Delaney Hall, which is always devastating, and reports, consistent reports, and a long, long record now of horrible conditions inside. So unfortunately, it's not surprising that we're seeing people get seriously ill or even pass away from conditions at Delaney Hall.
And we had the first of the three deaths at Delaney Hall was back in December of last year. John Wilson Brutus, 41-year-old migrant, died within a day after entering Delaney Hall, died of they're saying natural causes, but he suffered some sort of medical emergency under ICE custody. And what you referenced, too, with that, the still unnamed death that took place in July, is that ICE saying, well, it's not our fault because that person wasn't in our custody at that time? Is that what they're trying to claim?
That's right, yes. And this actually is a result of a rule change. Previously, DHS also had to report on deaths that occurred within 30 days of someone's release from ICE custody. That recently changed so that they do not have to report those recent deaths that could be attributable to someone's time at Delaney. So it appears to be a very intentional decision to not be held accountable for deaths that really originate in custody.
Now, as far as Mr. Lopez Corneo, his condition wasn't secret. This wasn't something that just came on, a cardiac episode, for example. He had a few health issues, epilepsy, blood pressure, among others, and he required medication. And I'm saying this only because when access is given for inspections of Delaney Hall, we get two separate observations from Democrats who go in versus Republicans who go in. And even from both, before they get in, they have to give, I believe it's 48 or 72 hours notice, so ICE can clean up their you-know-what and make it look as good as possible. But yet the Republicans say, well, I see no problem here, even in light of three deaths so far, and I'll even add that we know of.
That's right, yeah. And congressional representatives are supposed to be able to access these facilities to conduct an important part of their jobs, which is oversight. But increasingly, ICE is placing conditions on and restrictions on when they can access the facility, where they can go, who they can talk to. And that's become a serious concern. But you're absolutely right. We're getting different sorts of reports. But I will say from all the individuals, all the representatives who consistently go in, Representative Menendez being one of them, as well as Representative McIver, we are hearing the same stories. And they reflect the stories that we hear from individuals inside who we talk to or whose family members share information with us. And also anecdotally sharing that that they tend to get the folks inside to clean up more when they know that there is going to be a more official visit. So it's a huge concern for accountability. And, you know, we're grateful for the individuals, the representatives who take the time to consistently go and who try to enforce their right of access to these facilities, because that is so important to have honest oversight right now. There aren't other sorts of mechanisms for people to get inside. And there have also been severe restrictions on visitation by family members. Granted, those visitations are very limited in terms of the areas of the facility they can access, so it doesn't provide much insight. But the increasing restrictions for people going in, either for family visitation or by congressional representatives, really just make us wonder why they want to be so restrictive in terms of access. What are they hiding?
Oh, exactly. They're attempting to hide, and they hope that the deaths don't reveal what they're trying to hide. We're talking with Molly Lindhorst, who is staff attorney with the ACLU of New Jersey, aclu-nj.org, their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. You made mention, too, that Delaney Hall is owned and operated by Geo Group, who is one of the handful of groups making a ton of money off of these operations, with another one back on the planning stage in Roxbury, New Jersey. Who has legal responsibilities for these facilities? Is it the owner operator, or is it the ICE staffing who are they just trying to claim, hey, we just work here, it's not our problem?
That's a great question. I ultimately, at the end of the day, the federal government is responsible. They are contracting with individuals or with different companies like Geo Group and Core Civic to run these operations. But folks in those private companies are operating as agents. So the buck stops with the federal government. They are also the ones who are deciding to detain people and deciding how to do that, and through these private contracts, which, by the way, these private companies owe much more to their shareholders, or believe they owe much more to their shareholders than to the people in their custody. So they are putting profits over people, and that's something that the federal government is deciding to do and encouraging by entering into these private contracts.
Now, we should say, in total transparency, at least on this side of the equation, that Mr. Lopez Cornejo was in the country illegally. He had been deported and brought and reentered the United States. But if I understand the laws correctly, that's not even the equivalent as far as severity according to the law as serious as a first offense DUI. Isn't that a misdemeanor?
I mean, you make the important point that most of the people in these facilities are being held there, they're all being held there for civil offenses, right? Not criminal. The majority of people at Delaney don't have any criminal contact whatsoever. 70% have no criminal convictions, but regardless of what their history is, they're there as civil detainees. They are not supposed to be held in punitive conditions, and regardless, detention is not supposed to be a death sentence. The degree to which the federal government chooses to detain people in order to carry out what are really administrative proceedings is not ever supposed to rise to the level of someone passing. So regardless of Mr. Lopez Cornejo's history, he should not have died at Delaney Hall.
I know what I'm about to say is going to bother some people, but everyone who has feet on American soil, according to the U.S. Constitution, is afforded due process and civil rights. Like it or not, go hold a seance and take it up with the Founding Fathers.
That's right, yes. It's really important for us all to remember that. Every person here has constitutional rights no matter what.
I want to do a fast compare and contrast. When you look at what is unfolding, continues to unfold at Delaney Hall, as far as policy, operation, care, conditions, how does that compare to how prisons are given oversight and what consequences happen to state-run prisons, for example, if something like a death takes place there? Is there a huge imbalance between these two ideas?
Absolutely, yes. There is a lot more oversight at these criminal buildings and facilities, and a lot more that the public can do, really, to hold those facilities accountable. There's a lot more access than we're seeing what folks currently have in ICE detention facilities. The ACLU has consistently, throughout its history, also been concerned about conditions in pretrial jails and in prisons. By no means should conditions be poor in any of these facilities. They have to meet constitutional standards. But what's different about immigration detention is that it is civil detention, right? It is not supposed to be punitive, like I said, and that means that standards cannot be at the level of what standards are in criminal prisons. But we do see that there is significantly more oversight and more transparency with pretrial jails and prisons. Is it perfect? Absolutely not. There could absolutely be more transparency and absolutely more accountability. But right now, we're seeing such a stark comparison between the two, given the lack of access in ICE detention facilities.
So what could be done to change this? I know that Representative Rosa DeLauro down in Washington, she's the ranking Democrat in the House Appropriations Committee, is talking about closing down or defunding Delaney Hall. We know now that everything that Mark Wayne Mullen said is his Senate confirmation hearing was totally bogus, and the promises he's made about visiting and talking to people equally is bogus. And it's great that Governor Sherrill is creating safe protest areas, because we've seen ICE agents even attack American citizens. I certainly saw that in Minnesota numerous times, too, to the death of American citizens. What are the hopes, realistic hopes, that could change the situation that we're seeing right now?
There's a lot of different things. I think first, what you first mentioned, Delaney Hall should be closed. And there is always, like I mentioned before, there's always this inherent conflict when a private prison company is running a facility like this, because they are going to put profits over people, which means cutting corners with healthcare. And that's exactly the sort of thing we're seeing at Delaney Hall. So Delaney Hall should be closed. People should be released. There is no reason for people to be detained like this in order for them to be processed through their administrative proceedings. By and large, what we're hearing is that there are people like asylum seekers, people who are going to their check-ins with ICE, who are going to their immigration proceedings. They are the folks who are being caught up in this and who are being detained. And that's in order to meet certain numbers that the federal government is putting out there in terms of numbers of detention. And honestly, it leads to greater profits for companies like Geo Group and CoreCivic. So, A, close Delaney Hall. B, why are we using private companies to house people in facilities like this? And then in terms of oversight, we need to continue to demand that our representatives get access to facilities like this without severe restrictions like what we're seeing. Same thing with family visitation by friends, loved ones, pastors, in some cases, school administrators, because there are students now who are being detained in these facilities. And making sure that, like what Governor Sherrill is pursuing with the case against Delaney Hall to seek access for health inspectors, making sure that local and state regulations are followed inside these as well. But there's also a significant amount of work being done at the federal level to really ensure that there's oversight to cut down on the people who are being detained, and to try to, at the end of the day, create a better system that is humane, that treats people with dignity, and that doesn't line the pockets of these private prison companies with individuals who are just trying to seek safety and protect their families.
For you listening, as we close out the segment here, here's a little homework for you to do. Look at your whatever investment platform you have at work or 401k IRA, and look at what companies you're putting your money into. I got a feeling you might be surprised that Geo Group might just show up, or one of these private prison companies and ICE detention center companies might just show up. And if they do, I'm not saying don't invest anything anymore, but shift your plan over to something that's equal to your rate of return right now and take your money away from the people who are playing a significant role in creating the situations which led to the death of Edwin Lopez Cornejo. Learn more about this issue and the other points of focus of the ACLU of New Jersey. If you're listening on the stream, it's ACLU.org, but in New Jersey, ACLU-NJ.org. Molly Lindhorst, thanks so much for helping us see the truth and understand the importance of demanding answers. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks so much for having me and for covering this.